Good evening. I'd like to welcome all who have come to the gospel meeting this evening. Many other places you could be, other things you could be doing on a beautiful summer evening, but this is the best place you could be, is to hear the word of God, to hear the message of the gospel, not because of who is speaking it, but because it is from God's word, the Bible, and it is the only thing in this world that we can really depend on. I'm going to open in prayer. Our Father, we would thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can read of His death for our sins, and His burial, and His resurrection, and we can enjoy the truths of it, and realize that this is the hope that we can have to be able to ever get to heaven one day, that Jesus died at Calvary for our sins, and if we would just trust Him, we can know our sins forgiven and heaven as our home. We would pray for any in this meeting tonight who have not yet trusted Him, who have not yet received Him as their Savior, that they would come to Him even tonight. We just pray for help now, as we would desire to share something from the Word of God. We thank Thee for this privilege in the name of our Savior. Amen. I also just like to announce the meetings of the week. There will be no youth group tomorrow evening due to it being a holiday. Then Thursday at 7:30 is our prayer meeting and Bible study. I think it's not ministry, it's Bible study this week, right? Yeah. And then next Sunday, Lord's Day, the breaking of bread at 10 o'clock, and Sunday school at 12, and gospel again at 7. All these meetings are in the will of the Lord. We'll turn first to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So tonight I'm going to speak a little bit about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to read a fair amount, but what we read from the Word of God is far more important than anything I can say. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, this is Paul the Apostle who wrote this. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, wherein also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Now, he's speaking here to believers, those who have trusted Christ, but this would apply, this truth from here we can take and share with anyone. So something I just want to, just a question I want to ask, something we see in this first verse, "which also ye have received." So he's speaking to those who have received it. But I want each of you in this meeting tonight who can't go back to a time in their life when they have received salvation, I want you to ask yourself, why have I not received this message? And when? When will you receive this message? So this message, that the gospel which I preached unto you, Paul is speaking about, so verse 2, "by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." And we'll go down to verse 12. "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So Paul here is trying to prove how important the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is to our faith and to the belief we have that the Lord Jesus died on Calvary. So I'm just going to look at a few different things about the resurrection, and we'll turn over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So just backtrack a little bit. This is the tomb where the Lord Jesus was buried. Joseph of Arimathea had buried him I guess it would have been 3 days before. So verse 2, then Mary, she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre or tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. So here we have read an account of the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Christ, and he appeared to Mary, and then there was a few other disciples who went in the tomb and witnessed that he was not there. I just want to look at a few points of why the resurrection is so important. And number one, and we're going to actually turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. I should have told you to keep your finger there. Number one, it proves the ultimate power of God. If he created life, he has the power to overcome the effects of death. We're going to read just a couple verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. I think it's verse 50, we'll start at verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And then we're going to turn over to John chapter 10. So the resurrection proves the power of God, and it also proves It authenticates all the statements of the Lord Jesus when he was here on earth about who he was, that he was the Son of God. So we're going to read in John chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So he had the power to choose when to die, and he had the power to be resurrected, to overcome death. This commandment have I received of my Father. And we're just going to turn over a page to John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So we've looked at a few reasons why the resurrection is important, to prove who he was and who he is, and that everything he said about himself on this earth when he was here, he walked among men for 33 years approximately. And if the resurrection is true, then it proves that everything he said about himself was true. And we're going to look at a few other things that prove the resurrection. The 12 apostles, those who the Lord Jesus gave the command to go out into the world and preach the gospel, many of them were martyred. They gave their lives for the very thing that they believed, for the very gospel that they preached. We can read in Acts chapter 12, James, son of Zebedee, he was executed by Herod. And Peter, we know, was crucified upside down by Nero. Very cruel way to die. He said he wasn't worthy to be crucified like the Lord Jesus, so he asked them to crucify him upside down. And Andrew was believed to be crucified in Greece. James, the son of Alphaeus, was stabbed and clubbed to death. Philip was cruelly executed by a Roman proconsul after he spoke to the wife of that man and she was converted. And there's others we don't know, not sure of all the details about all of them. But can you imagine trying to tell a lie as big as, not that this was a lie, but trying to convince people of the Lord Jesus and his death and his resurrection? And if it was all a lie, can you imagine people going as far as to be crucified and executed and martyred for a lie? That in itself, the fact that so many of these men, and many of these men, their martyrdom, the details about how they died, is in history books, not the Bible, but in history books that other people can't really argue with, because they aren't books that are written to try to go along with the Bible. So different men, they gave their life for the truth of the resurrection. That there alone is a proof that the resurrection is real. And the women, we read about in John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. Back then in that culture, roughly 2,000 years ago, a woman's testimony was taken very lightly, no weight to it. Only really men would testify and witness of different things. Women were never called upon to the courts or anything like that. They were meant just to be subject to the man and to stay at home, and nothing they said really carried any weight in that culture. But yet, here we have the testimony of two different women about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and seeing him. And that in itself, if the whole thing was a farce, why would they include the testimony of women that didn't carry any weight? So that is another thing that just proves the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And then we read it already, but we'll just look at it again in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. So there was a tremendous amount of eyewitnesses who seen the Lord Jesus. And you can't argue with eyewitnesses. So the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is so important. Everything that we believe in revolves around the resurrection. We read there, verse 19, 1 Corinthians 15, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But thanks be to God that we can look into this book and know that the one who died upon the cross for our sins, that he didn't stay in the grave. We're not serving a dead Savior. We're serving a living Savior who is on the right hand of God. And he rose from the dead to prove that the work which he done on Calvary was enough to save you and to save me from our sins. I had another reference I was going to read, and now I didn't write it down. I'm trying to remember where it was. I'm sorry. We'll read in Isaiah chapter 53, just a couple of verses. I don't think this is what I was wanting to read, but we'll start at verse 5, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Down to verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul. So God saw the travail of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and it says, and shall be satisfied. God was satisfied with the work which Christ done at Calvary. And as a result of his satisfaction of the completion of that work, he raised him from the dead. All here in this meeting tonight who have accepted the Savior, who have received him, we are all satisfied with the work which Christ done. But what about you in this meeting who have not yet received him? When will you receive him? And why are you not satisfied with the work which he done? It was enough for God to raise him from the dead. And it's enough to take me to heaven. It's enough to take you to heaven. We pray that as the meeting goes on, you would just consider these things that we have read about and the proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and that God was satisfied with the work which he done at Calvary, and that even tonight you would be satisfied with that work and would just rest in it. Receive him tonight. May God bless his word.